Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening, Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host Han. How are you, Han?
I am doing great, Jim. Welcome to Straight Talk, everyone. This will be good evening, a great topic.
Absolutely. Tonight's topic, this is episode number 32, Master Plan. What does that mean? Well, that's an interesting topic without a doubt. Han and I were discussing the so many definitions. You say the word master plan and most people look at you like, oh, I know what that is. Really, most people don't. They use it in so many different ways. And so tonight we're really going to discuss the issue of what is a true master plan? How is it created? Why you'd want one in the first place? And how to use it as you develop your practice, your facility. The basic, we call it the what, why, and how. Now, obviously, if you'd like to ask a question of Han and I tonight, please feel free to do so. Get us on our call-in number of 657-383-1442, and we'll do our best to answer your question. Let's just jump into tonight's topic and have a little discussion about it. So let's start with the what. Well, what in the world is a master plan? Well, we define a master plan, and we've been doing this for many, many years. But we define a master plan as something, it's a document, it's not a drawing, it's actually a document that is created that has several aspects to it. The first aspect is what are you planning for now? So there'll be a written understanding of what you're doing currently in your practice. Then you're going to have the same kind of discussion about what you want to do in year 5 and year 10. And then a transition. Obviously, you know, it might be year 15, it might be year 20. We're not going to establish when you want to transition, but one day you're going to want to transition out of your practice and transition to someone else. Well, what do you want that to look like? And then the other aspect, which a lot of people don't actually add into a master plan, which you should, is what are you planning for in regards to the property? So obviously there's the business side. You know, you take your business plan and you integrate that into the master plan. So a business plan is not a master plan. A business plan is part of your master plan. Now you want to look at the property itself. Now you may say, well, I don't have property. That's fine. Actually, Han, you like to call it the roadmap, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much that. You need a map. And that's a master plan is a roadmap to the end game.
Exactly. So, you know, when we start a trip, what do you do the first thing? You open up the map and check out what you want to do. Well, it's no different in dealing with your development. You start your trip, you open up, and you create the master plan, which we like to coin as the roadmap. So you want to, as you look at your property, you may say, well, I don't know what I want to have for property. That's fine. What is your aspirations for property? Do you want to one day own more property than what you need for your facility and develop that into some other spaces or buildings or facilities? Or do you want to say, well, maybe I'm going to do 6 operatories. 2 or 3 years from now, maybe I'm at 10. 15 years from now, maybe I'm at 15 or 20. Well, that has an impact on property. You need property to be able to accomplish those potential goals. So when they say other use of property, it could be use for yourself. It could be used by a tenant. It could be used by a partner. Like, for example, let's say you want to partner together. And we've seen this where you partner with a orthodontist. You're a general practitioner. And you want to bring in an orthodontist, and you two want to develop a property together. Maybe that's your goal. You might not even know who the orthodontist is, but it's part of your master plan to develop. And then, you know, you look at this thing as a, we do, as a living document. It's not, okay, write it down, throw it in the drawer, and it stays there and gathers dust. Now, this is a document that you use and you refer to just as much as you refer to your business plan. Maybe probably more, because you want to at least open it up every year. You want to analyze it and then do a review of it to see if something has changed. We kind of say master plans are a living document because they do live. They change, they adjust, they get tweaked based upon the conditions. You know, maybe down the road, 10 years from now, there's a new dental procedure that is like, I got to have that. And I got to have that as part of my practice. But you didn't know about it 10 years ago. Well, your master plan needs to be adjusted so that you can effectively integrate that into your development. So in a nutshell, really, that is a written document. That's what a master plan is. Now the real question is, Han, why in the world would you want one of these?
So you know what to plan for. Now, for instance, you know, I have this conversation all the time. It could be as simple as this. You're not in a position to own land or to buy buildings, but you lease. Okay? And part of your plan is you usually lease for 10 with maybe 2-5 year renewal. So, you know, you're looking at 15, 20 years in a location. Chances are you're going to max out whatever it is that whatever space that you have. And part of your master plan is, how do you grow? You see, part of your plan is, do you find a different location, have a satellite office, or, you know, can annex the adjacent space as it become available, or something else. But yeah, it's just part of the big picture is, where do you want to go from here, from today, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 15 years, and that's why you have it, master plan.
And you bring out a very important point. A master plan is not just for people who want to have owner occupied new buildings or existing buildings on property. A master plan is a very useful tool for dentists who lease, who plan on leasing forever, who only see leasing as a first step. You get out of school, I'm going to go in, I'm going to open my facility, I'm going to lease a space, and I'm going to be there for 5 to 10 years. And then we're going to go from there. So the master plan is a tool that can be used, should be used by everybody, not just the dentist who wants to own their own building on a piece of property.
It's part of your business plan. You know, it's important that you have some type of a plan of where you're going to go, how you're going to grow, what you're going to do. Otherwise, it's a very proactive process in how you develop your business, how you develop your practice. Otherwise, you just simply be all reactive, and that adds so much stress. They add so much additional unnecessary cost to your whole business plan. Have a map. Have a plan. I think the term is, if you don't have a plan, you have a plan. But you failed to plan.
Exactly. Give our listeners some examples of the master planning, how it actually works, and real life what happens. You know, for example, we were talking a little bit before the show on some of the things. Why don't you throw a couple examples out there?
Say for example, let's say okay, we have worked with again. If you lease a space, you're still talking about $300,000-$500,000 investment into that practice at that location for 6-7 treatment rooms. Okay, you're not going to pull up the rug in 5 years and walk away. You're going to be there for a while. But as you grow, you might want to say, okay, this has to be done early on, not after you built the practice. If part of your plan is, okay, do I want to, this is a great location. You know, the population is growing, the demographic, the numbers and the ratio and all that is beautiful. And you say, I'm going to build this practice here and I'm going to grow here. So if you lease it, at least look at the space where the relation in the shopping mall or the strip that allow you the best opportunity to expand. Okay. For instance, let's say if you go into a shopping strip and you say, I like to have more daylight, so I'm going to take the end cap. But part of your plan is to grow, you know, in 5 years you want to double. And that only happened if your adjacent neighbor space become available. But if you're at the end cap, that opportunity is only 50% chance. But if your plan is to expand, you might want to be somewhere in the middle. So that way on both sides, if one side becomes available, you can expand to that side and so on. So you look at the big picture of how you can achieve your growth in the same place if you lease. We work with a dentist who owned condos, and he was growing and needed additional space, and the adjacent neighbor vacate their space, so he ended up buying that condo. So it's similar to lease, but he owned the space. Okay, and so he doubled his practice, and you know he. The challenge is if you design a facility to meet what you need now, and it didn't dawn on you, or you didn't plan for the expansion down the road as you expand or double your space, that space is going to look like an afterthought. It can be very disruptive, to expand into the new space. If you think about it and plan on future growth, the design will be done in a way that allows you to expand with less headache, less pain. Okay. So those are the simple stuff. Master plan is so important that you need to know, two, your team need to know, because if you didn't share with your design team that you plan to do this or that, and you spring it on them after everything is done, particularly like during construction, it gets really, really costly if you can even implement that, you know, that plan that you have. For instance, we were told that the space in that building could potentially be used as a tenant space for a non-dental tenant, but the building was not designed to be separated. Utilities and all that was not designed to be subleased. Okay, those are the things that can drive your project, you know, out the window in cost, in strategy, in usage, in a lot of different ways, it's totally messed up the entire process if you don't plan it first or plan it early. So that's, those are just some minor stuff, but it's got a huge impact. Jim?
Well, actually, you're right. You're exactly right, Han. It has potential for, one, it could, if you plan properly and create a really good master plan, you can save yourself untold amount of misery, anguish, as well as money. Where on the other side, if you don't plan properly, you're reacting. You're reacting to everything. And what happens when you're in a reaction mode, you end up, you know, too much stress, and it ends up costing you more money. So your example, I was writing some notes down as you were discussing the several options there. Your example for, you know, a master plan is a tool. It's a tool for your designer and your architect. It's a tool for your lease negotiator. And it's a tool for your realtor, depending on where you're at and what you're doing in that particular process. Here's some examples. Designer and architect tool. Well, Han and I, if we know that your plan is to expand at year five, or at least you have plans in the future to expand, we'll be able to design that facility today with the understanding of this is how you would expand and how it would integrate so that it made sense. We all know that it costs a lot of money to build something. Well, what costs more is to build something than tear it down in 5 years or tear down a part of it to build something else. So there are some very inexpensive, but at the same time, very valuable things that we can do to create passageways, paths, opportunities for these expansions to happen, so that when you say, okay, I'm at that point, I'm big enough, I need to expand, I need to put in those next four operatories. That's already been thought about. And this is how it's done. And this is how it's easily done. And also, this is how it's staged in such a way that it can be built while you still are practicing. And you don't have to shut your practice down. Or you don't have to be forced to, and we've seen it so many times, where our clients are at a point, their breaking point, they have no place to go, they have no place to expand, and they're pretty much forced to go out of their location, which they think is a magnificent location, and it may very well be the perfect location, it's just the wrong building. And so then they have to go to another place and kind of uproot and start all over in a way that, okay, maybe this is a good thing or a bad thing, but what happens is it disrupts your clients and your... We're human. We're human nature. We don't like change, do we, Han?
Especially when it costs a lot.
Yeah,
okay.
And it does cost a lot. Yeah, it costs a lot. You got to pay to tear it down. You got to pay to rebuild it, and you got to pay, you know, to have somebody think about it. Whereas in a true master plan document, will be that useful tool for your architect, your designer, to be able to understand what you want to do year one, year five, year 10, and what you want to do for transition. So that at least you have that going for you and you can think about those things and have an idea of where you want to head. Now let's look at your lease negotiator or your realtor. Each one kind of do a different aspect. Go back and listen to our podcast. We've talked about both of them, even had a lease negotiator expert on. And he, George, was very valuable in the way of the information that he provided. So you can catch that back on our website, www.hjtdesign.com. But this tool lets them understand what they need to do day one. Here's a prime example. If your lease negotiator knows that you're in a rental, a lease space, in a retail center, and you take Han's advice and you decide that, okay, eventually I'm going to want to expand and I want to have the opportunity to expand potentially here at this location because, you know, it's the best location around. I'm in the perfect place. I'm by the grocery store. I'm by the bank. I'm by the beauty salon. I'm right down the road from the school. Everything and everyone is coming to this center. So I want to be here. I don't want to be forced to go some other place. This is where I want to be. Well, your lease negotiator will then say, all right, let's look at the space, the two spaces adjacent to you, and negotiate in your lease that you get first right of refusal if those two spaces become available, because they may. So now you're being proactive and planning for the future as opposed to being reactive and going, oh, crap, the space beside me just opened up. What the heck do I do? Well, if you're ready for it and you've already got the understanding that, yes, this is where I want to go, then you can make a decision to say, yes, I'm ready and able to be able to move forward with that, or no, I'm not, but I still want to keep the option available to me. So that just that little thing of having the ability to have first right to take one or two of those adjacent spaces to you is something your lease negotiator would want or your realtor would want to put in your lease. It kind of is like a protection, but at the same time, you're planning. And that's where the word plan comes from in the master plan. You're planning for the future. So, you know, here's another example. Let's say, you know, we've had this happen. We have this going on. You know, our client said that, you know, I'm building 12 operatories today, but one day I want to get to 20. Well, that's great. When we place that building on the property, we do it in such a way that it's able to be expanded, and this is how it would be expanded so that you can add those additional operatories. In this particular case, it'd be four on each end of the building. Now, if we would have not known or properly had this master plan in place, then that building could potentially have been placed too close to one side of the property. And by doing so, limits the potential for the dentist to expand. So thus, he would only be able to expand in one direction as opposed to two, when it made more sense to be able to expand in the two areas on this particular site. That's a real live example of what a good master plan will do. And the answer to the question is, why would I want one of those? Well, that's a real example, because one day when that happens, they'll look back and say, yep, I'm glad we did this because this is the way we'll do it. We're at, example on one of Dr. Hunsinger's properties. It's come to the point where he's grown so much that he needs to add operatories. Well, it was originally planned that there were two locations where operatories could be added. And pretty easily, by extending the corridor, we're able to put in three additional operatories with not a whole lot of pain. They fit with on the property. Now, if that building was moved literally 1 foot further to that direction, those operatories could not have been built on that side of the building. And it would have limited his opportunities and potential places for that growth.
Jim, there's something else that we need to share too, is that if you know that if part of the master plan is for expansion in any direction, you know, for the building to grow in any direction, whatever that direction is, it allows your architectural and engineering team to strategize where the services come to service the building. For instance, if you have a gas line that are being brought to the building to feed your rooftop equipment and so on, and if you do not have it part of your master plan to expand in the building, and let's say in the north direction, the service may come in on the north side of the building where the future expansion is going to be. So when you're ready to grow, you have to rework that utility. If the master plan is known, then the gas service will be placed so that it does not put itself in where in the future you'll have to rework or redesign.
Right.
Okay?
And
so
that's a prime, that's a very good example of a master plan actually saving you money. It saves you money in the future because it's very expensive to rework utilities when you don't need to. If you have the master plan in place and everyone understands what you're trying to accomplish, you're right. The team will place those kind of things in a place where they won't interfere with potential areas of growth or adjustment. And thus, it doesn't cost you any more money on day one, but it saves you a whole lot of money on day, you know, year five or year 10. When you're going in and saying, okay, time to do this. Oh, crap. We've got a 12-inch sewer main, and we've got the main water supply, and the electrical panel is right there. Do you know how expensive it is to move those things? It is ungodly expensive to move things like electrical panels and water lines and sewer lines and gas lines that you don't need to spend. You would not need to spend that money if you had a proper master plan and an understanding about what you want to do or what you potentially want to do. So, here's the question, Han. I know every one of our listeners are going, I can't think that far ahead in advance. I mean, I can't tell you today what I'm going to be doing in year 10. Well, you're right. You can't. But you have some idea of what the goal might be. So if the potential is there, then you plan for it. Master plans are kind of a unique animal. You don't have to do everything that's in your master plan. You just have to plan for the possibility of it so that if it does in fact happen, it's a plan for the possibility. If it happens, you're ready for it. It's that thing that you didn't plan for that usually bites you. Han, you were saying?
Yeah, you know, it could be, you know, it could be, let's say the building, okay? This is in the building. We had looked at the plan, existing facility, both large and small, where master planning was never part of their vocabulary. They lease the space, and as they expand, they just consume, like almost like a virus. Okay, they just take up every little space that they can, adjacent space, and they just expand without really, really plan. So when you look at it, let's say you rip the roof off, and you look down into the facility, and you go like, why were they smoking when they did this?
Yeah, it just becomes a hodgepodge, a mess, a big mess. It's not
amazed,
efficient.
Amazed.
Yeah.
Okay. So if the master plan are known and planned, your building, the design of the building, the way the walls are built, the location of doors and corridors and all that stuff could be spelled out in advance so that in the event that you want to grow, you can. And it looked like it was done, it's not designed or done second-handed
It becomes a hodgepodge, basically a menagerie of just things that happen. If in effect you're reacting to the need as opposed to planning for the potential, you need to plan for that potential possibilities. And you may say, well, I'm sitting here today, and I'm okay. I'm going to work. I don't want to have an associate. I just want to continue to work, and that's what I'm going to do. And that may be just fine. But what happens if 5 years down the road you're saying, I went to this class, or I went to this continuing ed, or I've looked at my friend over here who is in a practice, and the light comes on, and he's told me or she's told me that this is what they're doing. You see that, and you see the numbers, and you see the potential there, and you go, I want to do that. Well, if you're in a facility or a particular situation that doesn't think about that as an opportunity, and your master plan doesn't have that in place, then all of a sudden you've got to start to react and create something to be able to do that. It can be done. But it ends up being costly.
Would you consider a master plan as an asset? Here's what I'm alluding at, is that even if you are, if you like to be a solo practitioner, and all you want is 6 or 7 ops, and you're gonna crank along at that pace for your entire career, all right? But if you're going to, eventually you're going to transition, you're going to sell it, the next buyer may have a different aspiration. You have the master plan and you say, we designed this facility that will allow the option for us or the new, owner, doc, to expand. And here's the potential of the expansion, and we plan for that. And that becomes, in my opinion, will become an asset for the new owner because somebody already gave them the map of what the potential can be if they want to expand into a 10 or a 20, treatment room facility. They can, because there's land, there's direction, there is a master plan that allows them to have that option. When you say that,
very,
would be an
very
asset,
much. Very much a master plan is an asset because it does exactly that. You may be master planning for the future owner or the transition team or the group of young associates that are going to take over your practice. You're actually master planning for them. And so that your practice actually becomes more valuable, more attractive. Because why limit yourself to, okay, I'm a single practitioner, I'm going to be that away, I've got 4 or 5 operatories, and maybe 6 operatories, and that's it, I'm going to stay that away. Well, there's a small percentage of the young doctors coming out of the system that want to practice in that mode. So you're limiting the individuals who want to take over your practice and transition you out. Whereas, and if you do have a master plan, you have the ability to expand here and there, or whatever, and add to based upon what their needs might be. Then you've widened out your funnel, your umbrella of potential associates who want to look at your practice. So by default, your practice becomes more valuable to a larger number.
More appealing.
More appealing and more valuable to a larger number of associates. It's like, it's no different than selling a house in the sense that you're selling a piece of property, you're selling a business. It's the same thing. You want to make it as attractive to as many potential buyers as possible so that you don't limit yourself and only have, there's only one potential buyer out of 1,000 and I got to get that one person to say yes. I'd much rather be in a position where I got 1,000 potential buyers than I have one potential buyer. Because, again, it comes down to what's the best financial decision. Han, you were saying that the master plan is part of your business plan. Well, exactly. But the business plan is actually part of your master plan. So the master plan is that roadmap,
yeah.
And the business plan are the cities along that roadmap that you want to get from point A to point B, the roads, the interstates, those kind of things. That business plan is part of it. So, you know, your business plan may be that I want to be $1 million a year. Well, how do you accomplish that? Well, we've got a process working with Bill. He'll be able to identify how you can do that. This will equate down to how much each operatory needs to make. This is how you're going to staff it. These are going to things you want to do. And I said, well, I want to be $1 million in the first 5 years, and I want to be $2 million in the next 5 years. Well, the exact same thing. Those are the kind of things that want to be in this master plan document. So it's not just a drawing. It's a written understanding of what you want to be, what your goals are, what your plan is today, tomorrow, 5, 10, 15 plus years from now.
Here's a quick story, Jim. Okay. We were talking to a young dentist looking for property, and you know, his plan is to build a 6 operatory facility and eventually expand to 10. Out shopping for land, and you know, found a location that would be ideal for him. We looked at it, and part of the master plan is that if the building you buy or the land you buy will not mesh with your business plan, well, one of them is going to attempt to change. Okay? If you want to have a 10 operatory practice on a part, as part of your long-term plan, the location have to be able to accommodate that type of facility, that size of facility, and the parking requirement for that type of that size of practice. Part of your planning, part of your searching for properties and buildings and all that stuff, have to take your master plan or your long-term plan in mind. The location will not accommodate his first phase, his 6th treatment room, practice. Therefore, definitely will not accommodate his future growth. So, part of your master plan, if you put it in writing and work from it, it will tell you that the land, and the building and all that you need, it will tell you whether it's right or wrong. Okay, in this case, he didn't buy the property first and then come to us. He asked us to look at it, and we analyze and say, you can't, based on what we see, what you have, you can't dump enough money into it to get what you need. So walk, find something else. That's what a master plan helps you to identify and weed out the mistakes that you could make. If it's and this happened several times in the last couple of years, where the docs say, I look at this building, it's perfect, it's on, it's at the intersection, it's the right size, everything's beautiful, and the only thing is no parking. All right. That's like opening a dentist's office without any dental chair and utensils. Okay? It doesn't work. When it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know that up front, so you don't have to try to recoup and react and make too many compromises that just hinder your growth. Jim?
Yeah, you bring up two very, very important points. One of which has to do with the idea that the master plan, we see a master plan is something that's actually created before you start. That's the best time to have your master plan. Before you start, before you buy a piece of property, before you say, this is what I want to build, or before you say, okay, let's build this building, or I'm going to buy this building. You should have your master plan in place so that you can evaluate all of those things against your master plan. So in essence, it is kind of like the business plan that a lot of people understand, but it's much broader. And you're going to evaluate that existing, that piece of property, for example, whether it's got a building on it or just land, and say, yes, this property will, and we help with that kind of stuff. That's one of the things we do. This property is big enough to be able to do your potential 12 operatory. At the same time, you may say you want to have some tenant space that's part of this. You know, it could be anything, whatever that tenant space would want to be. In, let's say in your neck of the woods that there's a real need for office space. And so it could be, you know, some medical office space or something like that. And we will be able to identify how many parking spaces would typically go with that, and then set that into a understanding that, yes, your property, if you were to purchase this one, would be able to do your space, your parking, potential tenant medical office with their parking, and it works. Or like Hans' example, okay, maybe it works just for the dental office, but forget about any growth or potential tenant space, because there's not enough room, or there's not enough space, or there's not access, or what have you. You need to know that before you go buying that piece of property, because there's nothing worse than all of a sudden limiting yourself and say, wow, I really wish I would have been able to do this because there's so many financial benefits to that. But now I've lost that opportunity because I picked this piece of property. And you need to understand that information and have it so that you can make educated decisions on, yeah, I still like the property. I'm going to go ahead and go with that because it's the very best location in the very best part of town with the very best demographics. And so all the other things make sense, and you can make that determination to say, yes, I'm going to still go ahead and do it, even though I really wanted to have some tenant space or that kind of stuff. But at least you know, as opposed to you're planning as opposed to reacting. And then the other part of the discussion that you were talking about, Han, was how it was used. Is that what you were talking about? I didn't write it down, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. There's so many variations and criteria that can, you know, that can mess up things or fulfill your vision. Okay, it need to be shared. It need to be known so that you can determine. Along with the team, can determine the viability and the feasibility of how it can be achieved. Different building had different requirements in terms of utility, function, security. You know, the list can go on and on. But the earlier that those criteria can be defined, the better. Chances that you will make the right selection of property, location, size, and all that stuff to make sure that you can carry out, execute your master plan in the long term. Okay, it's amazing what one mishap can set you back financially and your time frame as well. So we just, you know, do we need to know everything, Jim?
I like
the
to know
answer
everything.
Should be yes.
Yeah, we really like to know everything because it sure is much better to plan for it than it is to react to it. And Han, you're exactly correct. Now, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about was just a little thing about that utility or that potential item that's going to be placed in your facility. This could be a renovation or this could be a new build. It doesn't matter. If you understand what the master plan is and use it as a tool that it is, you won't have those limiting factors of, I can't do this because, oops, we put that electrical panel there. Because it just becomes too costly to try to fix the pre-planning that should have been done after the fact. If you would have pre-planned, that electrical panel wouldn't have been in that location, and it would be a piece of cake to knock down that part of the wall, extend the corridor, move over to this particular area, add those particular spaces, whether they're operatories or whatever they are, a surgical suite. Whatever you would have down the road, you have the ability to be able to add something on or move some things around. And so it's crucial that I guess we're very adamant. We're also very passionate about this because we see too much of it. We see too much of not planning for the future, and it ends up strangling the potentials, and you don't have all those potentials in front of you, and you kind of have to live with them. We've seen it, Han. How many times have we seen it where the doctor said, I'd love to be able to add on over here, but I can't do anything because of this particular situation? And so now it's like, oh, I've got to go someplace else. Or I don't do anything and I stay exactly where I'm at.
I have this little discussion just a couple weeks ago. A doctor, a return client, was looking for a lease space. And part of his plan is to take a large space and then have the opportunity to subdivide it, take what he needs, and then subdivide the remaining space for specialists, okay? If you go into it's a standalone building, so it's large enough to be subdivided into several, three or four offices. But if you're going to go into a building and you're going to take the entire building, part of your master plan, in the small term, is that if you're going to take half of it, the other half of the building could potentially be subleased to one or two tenants. Who's going to be responsible for the meters? Should it be the electrical service? Should be a single service, or should be three services with its own separate meters? Same for water. Front door, back door. All those little things that need to be identified as part of your master plan, so it minimizes the headache or the hardship when that time comes, and you don't know when that time comes, you have to answer rather than trying to figure it out what you can do because you failed to plan. So that's just a small thing. Like, We have a doctor that come and say, hey, I'm young, but my plan is this. I want to buy 5 acres of land. I know I only need about half, and I want to develop into a dental development where other specialists can buy a piece of, you know, a piece of my land and build their offices there, and we have more of a medical or dental development or park where where the patient can go and see everybody, to see the specialist they need or the general that they need and so on. So their big plan is buy and develop a park. Knowing that, we can help to develop the site to accommodate all of that. Okay.
That's a very good example. Yep, that's a very good example.
Do we need to know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do we need to know everything? I want to know everything. The only way
we already know you want to know everything. It's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I do.
In our few minutes we have left, I want to talk about how. How in the world do you create a proper master plan? a tool that can be used, that this living document that we talk about, and how do you go about doing it in such a way that it's actually something that's useful? Well, first of all, you've got to sit down and look at your goals. Oh, yeah, remember that thing, always set your goals? Well, you really do need to set your goals. Set your goals, your long-term, your short-term. Set these goals and say, these are the things that I want to accomplish, or at least this is my goal that I want to accomplish. You may not say, okay, you may not be so defined to say, first year, I want to do X. By year two or three, I want to be at 1 million. By 5 or 6, I want to be at 2 million. But that might be your goal. But at least you start out with, okay, create what your goals are going to be. And these kind of dovetail with what a business plan also has. Master plan sets the overall criteria. Your business plan is how do you accomplish it from a business side. Now, you're going to combine those two documents, your business plan and your master plan. Okay. And that's something that's that you look at, like I said, on an annual basis. Now, we very, very strongly recommend that you hire a professional that understands dental planning to help you actually create a thorough dental master plan. You know, there's so many aspects that you want that would go into actually. We don't have enough time in this particular show to be able to talk about actually creating one, but we would talk with, you know, you, we talk with your associates, we talk with your staff, we talk with the key team players that you have, you know, your accountant, your dentist, your accountant, your banker, your lawyer, those individuals that are key to your practice that you have going on. We review all those things and integrate that into the master plan. We talk with your realtor, if you have one, integrate their input into the master plan. So we get an understanding of where you're at today. We then develop what those goals are going to be. I mean, Bill's working with several folks right now. They may be listening, and that's great. He's been working them with for a couple years, and they're getting to the point where they had their thoughts and their goals and their plans, and they're getting to the point to start implementing those. And you know, that's a great thing. That's what it is that you want to do, and you know, how do you want to do that? So we're going to ask a lot of questions. We're going to do a lot of interviews. We're going to create this written document that may have some drawings with it, may not have some drawings with it. It'll talk about how you like to practice dentistry. It'll talk about what you want to do within that space. You'll talk about things like, okay, right now I've only got one hygienist. My goal is to get 5. Or my goal is to be, okay, I'm only working this many hours, but I can't really cover weekends or evenings. Okay, so then maybe that means I need to have eventually look at an associate. I can do a split shift kind of thing that we talked about in previous podcasts about ways to grow. There's so many things that you integrate into this master planning document. I guess to reiterate, it's just not a drawing that says, this little blob over here says future expansion. That's not a master plan. That's a little drawing that says future expansion. It's about as worthless as that little drawing piece of paper with the future expansion on it. Isn't it hot?
It's not as useful as you would hope it is.
Yeah. And more than likely it was done free for somebody. And you know what happens when you do something for free. It's worth nothing. But so the overall area of a master plan is really crucial in that it's that living document that will change as you change. And like I said before, you may, year five in your process, find out that there's new procedure and that procedure requires a new space. And I've got to have that. I want to have that. I have a need for it. How do we integrate it into it? You may not have been able to know about that today, but at least your master plan has the is flexible enough to be able to allow it. These are not static documents. They're not a static thing that you throw in a drawer and never look at. You want to look at that thing on a yearly basis and pull it out, compare it with your business plan, and say, yeah, we're on track, or no, we need to make some adjustments here, or we need to make an adjustment here. But that master plan is that roadmap that's going to get you from point A to point B. And sometimes on the way, you're going to say, maybe I didn't want to go to that particular location, but let's go over to this location. But you're still getting to the point of where you wanted to be in at the end of your trip. And I guess that's the easiest analogy that I can come up with actually what a real true master plan. When you actually see a real true master plan and actually go through it, you will be amazed at how helpful that document can be as you transition and work through your practice on a daily basis. Juan?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a worthwhile investment in time and resource. Because if you don't know where you're heading, you're going to be going in a circle. Your team, it's the master plan isn't necessarily put together by just your architect and engineer. You have practice consultants. You got a small army of people that can help and or work together. To formulate the master plan. But you're the bus driver. You need to you need to lead your team so that you can create that roadmap. For your practice, as your practice grow. And have everything in its place. Whether you execute it or not, it's good to know that it's in place. Again, it would help you. You don't know what the future is gonna hold, but at least you know that if things grow according to the way you hope it to grow, then you have the ability to meet that growth. If you have a master plan put together so that you don't react and wonder, do I need to move? When do I need to move? Where do I need to move? And all that.
Exactly. Joe? Very good. Very good points. Well, with that, Han, what's happening with on Dental Town? We haven't had an opportunity to talk about that for quite a while. Anything hot that you wanted to discuss tonight?
I haven't really had a lot of time on Dental Town. I don't have much to share that I would say a hot topic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My apologies. I was busy taking care of other stuff. Okay. But in a nutshell, to close up on the topic, Jim, think of the worst treatment plan or the worst patient that come into your office. If you don't put together a treatment plan so that you know what need to be done, the progression of the treatment and stuff like that, it will be the end result may not be as smooth, as coherent, and meet the expectation of your patient. I think that's the best comparison I can come up with.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. It's a very good analogy. Well, now another thing that I wanted to introduce to our listeners that, this is episode number 32. So, we've done this for 32 plus weeks. We had a couple weeks off like last week. If there's a topic or if there's something that you want us to address, feel free to get a hold of us. Send us an email. Go to our website. hit the contact button. Send us an email with the topic that you want to address. Maybe you're just too shy, or you don't want to, or for example, you're listening to our podcast afterwards and not listening to the show live. Send us an email with your potential topic or your potential question, and we'll answer them. We'll do our best to, and we'd love to hear from you in that regard, because if there's something that's hot that you need to have an understanding about, and it could be very detailed or very specific to your particular situation, or it could be a general kind of thing that, hey, several of us on Dental Town were talking about this, and Han didn't pick up on it for some reason, or I didn't pick up on it. I'd like you guys to address this. What's your thoughts on that? Please throw that at us. We'd love to hear from you. Catch us on our website at www.hjtdesign.com in the contact side. You can send us an email in there, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll do our best to integrate that into the show. And it doesn't have to be germane or specific to that particular show topic that night, but I'd like to add that segment into our weekly show. So, kind of like questions from the listeners, for lack of a better word, or thing. I think that would be kind of cool, don't you, Han?
Yeah, I think, let me encourage the listeners that don't be shy. All right?
We don't bite.
Like we say, again, part of our program is that I strongly believe in the statement is that the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Okay? Jim, let me step back on the Dental Town thing. Okay, there is a discussion right now, and it falls right square in line with the topic that we're talking about. Master planning, a situation where a building was purchased. It was a medical facility, a medical facility could mean a building that has a number of doctor offices, okay? Often the question is asked, can I take, there's a doctor's office vacant, can I take that and don't have to do any renovation and make it, turn that into a dentist's office, and just run with it? The answer is, it depends, okay? It depends what's there. There's not a right or wrong answer. It has to be analyzed, and then the appropriate thing needs to be done to get you into the place that that meet your clinical requirements and everything. But anyway, this particular discussion, it seems, at least to me, and I'm trying to be nice, is that it was done in such a way that there is no coherent direction. There is no real objective. It was confusing. And it was a major time killer. We often joke about design by committee. Both Jim and I came from larger corporations where we do large projects, where you have a large team and you spend a lot of time in meetings and after meetings and after meetings, and you go like, when is somebody going to make a decision to move it forward? In this particular case, it seems like the only encouragement I have if you're listening is this. Somebody step up and say, I'll leave. And then everybody make the decision or stay in the meeting until you make the decision on at least one or two items so that the project can proceed. Because as I look at it and critique it, it's pretty sad. Okay? If you don't have a master plan, you're going to vacillate on a project and you're going to kill it. You might have, say, I have, time is on my side. No, you don't. We have seen it happen so often. Is that they come and they say, I got 2 years, 3 years. Theoretically, in 2 years you can build a building. And I was just sharing with Jim, I was watching a program. They were building a ocean cruise ship. It's a world class. And the time frame to plan and build it was 19 months. It's absolutely amazing that they can build such a complex project in 19 months. And it just boggles my mind that a dental office cannot be designed and built in 2 years. And that happened because lack of planning, lack of decision making. So to develop a plan, to develop a master plan to help you to have a roadmap of where to go, how to do things, certainly worth your time, worth your money. It don't have to be us that do the work. We like to, but do it for yourself. I'm good, Jim.
Couldn't say it any better, Hon. Really appreciate that that summary and follow-up. Appreciate the listeners. Thanks for spending time with us. Like you say before, Hon and I enjoy doing this only because it's what we really like. We want to help educate. We want to help you as you're trying to move forward. And, you know, we're here for that reason. We're here to help. So please, if you have questions, throw them by us. We want to integrate that into our show criteria coming up on future shows. And we look forward to spending some time with you next Tuesday. Hon?
Appreciate you spending the hours with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Hon. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.